Today's scripture reading is from Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning, church. It is really a delight for Diane and I to be here this morning and for me to be able to bring something to you from the Word of God. It's a very special opportunity, and I'm appreciative of that. I want to talk to you this morning about when I was invited to speak, I knew in very short order what I wanted to talk about. So, for the next hour and a half, I want to talk about endurance. Oh, no, I am kidding. Just want to make sure you're awake, you're there with me, and I think that you are. But I actually want to talk to you from this passage today, Romans 12, 1 and 2, which was just recited for us wonderfully, and verses that I would encourage you to memorize, because I think that they, how do you say there are verses in Scripture that are more important than others? I mean, they're all profitable, they're all important, but I think that there are some verses that, for me, just stand out for one reason or another, and these two verses are amongst those, maybe the top 10, even the top 5 in Scripture, because if we don't get this, if we don't understand and apply this, then there really is no genuineness to our relationship to God. If we don't get this, there really is no power in that relationship. If we don't get this, there is no ability to live in this world in the way that Christ has called us to live. And so this is a very important passage, and I'm excited to be able to talk to us about it today. Now, I recognize that whenever, you know, a speaker like me comes into a church, sometimes you don't understand where the congregation is at, and you're just, it's sort of, you know, hit and miss, please, Holy Spirit, do something with it. And it is always that. But I mean, I understand that because of transitions and some things that are going on in some of your lives, I've been told that a number of you are experiencing a bit of pain, a bit of difficulty in your life. And that's not uncommon, but I'm not going to address the causes of that today. But what I have to say, I hope will in part at least address that, and that the Spirit of God will use that in some way to speak to us. I was not familiar with the song that the team sang this morning, but I thought it was a beautiful lead-in to what I wanted to say today. We lean not on our own understanding, but we trust in one who can make something of it. And that's I want to tie that into that idea this morning in what I have to say. As we look at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, we're coming into it in the context of Romans 11, in which Paul is talking to them about how it's no longer just the Jews, but it's the Gentiles. And Gentiles means people who are non-Jews, right? It's the rest of the world. But he's talking about how Jew and Gentile have been grafted together in Christ and have become a new people, a new Israel. And that's the context in which he writes to them in Romans chapter 12. There's an image I want us to have in our minds that I think will help us with what I want to say this morning. Who doesn't like to be hugged? I want the image of an embrace in our minds this morning. Now, some of us might be uncomfortable, depending on who's doing the hugging, right? Especially some of us guys, we're a little uncomfortable with that. I remember Dave Hearn, our former DS, and he was Mr. Hugger. And you know, I used to do a lot of this kind of hugging until I worked with Dave. Now I'm full on, you know. But Dave would hug everybody. He'd come in the office every morning, stop in every office, and he'd hug everybody. And at first, I'm thinking, oh, no, here we go again, you know, and then finally, I got to liking it, you know, and doing more of it myself. So Dave made us a more relational district, a more warm district. But this idea of the embrace, It's not just the idea of the fist pump, you know, sort of casual in passing, yay Jesus, you know. It's the idea of this full-on embrace, which means this full acceptance and this full identification with this idea and with the person of Christ. And that's what I want to talk about under the theme of genuine Christianity this morning. If I could put the sermon in a sentence, if you hear nothing else today, hear this sentence and you'll get the sermon. And that is this, that to follow Jesus requires a commitment to daily being a living sacrifice, to the process of transformation, and to the will of God, no matter what. That's where we're going this morning. So let me talk first about this idea of embracing your identity as a living sacrifice. He says, the verse we just had quoted to us talked about being a living sacrifice. Urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's an interesting phrase. That's an interesting concept there. Because to be a living sacrifice affects the way you think and what you choose and how you live every moment of every day of your life, not just here on Sundays. And it not just when things are going well, not just when things make sense, but at all times. Romans 12:1 talks about this idea of being a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I actually make this quite frequently a part of my prayer at the beginning of a day. I say, Lord, I offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. Live in me and through me. And I would encourage you to do that as well. This is what we're being called to. Each of us needs to understand that our life is not our own. The Bible says we have been bought with a price, right? The precious blood of Jesus. We are not our own. This idea of the sacrifices, of course, comes from the Old Testament, and you know how that system worked. And the interesting thing there, though, is that when that grain or when that animal was offered up, it was one time. It was one and done. They were dead or burned up, and it was one and done. But here we know with Jesus, it's a different matter. It was once and for all, and we are to daily regularly offer ourselves up as well as a living sacrifice for him. But he paid that price. But we're to be a sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to him, it says. Holy and pleasing to him. We're to continually be asking ourselves, Lord, is what I'm doing, is what I'm deciding, is what I'm thinking, is what I'm, the way I'm acting, the direction that I'm going, is this what you would approve of? Is this holy and pleasing to you? And that's something we have to continually address every day, continually. So it's more than just, as I said, that casual relationship, but it means saying no to my will and yes to his. No to my will, yes to his. If you want an exciting, dynamic, genuine Christian life, if you want this to be an exciting, dynamic, genuine Christian church, it must never be about me or what I want, but it must always be about Jesus and what he wants. Amen? That's right. If my life and your life is no longer about me and about you, but it's about Jesus in me and Jesus in us as we live in him, who is powerfully resonant in our lives by the Holy Spirit. If it's become the story about him in us, then we will experience his life, his love, his forgiveness, his grace, his intervention, his protection, his provision, his help, his personal involvement in every aspect and every challenge of our lives. And that's what I want. Don't you? I want that. I want that for us. And if that's what we want more than anything, then we have got to embrace fully this idea of being a living sacrifice every single day of our lives, every day in this week to come. But let me take that to the next stage. We have to also, with this, embrace the idea of being transformed. Why is this important? To be a living sacrifice means entering a process of transformation. So embrace it. Don't fight it. Pursue it. Ask for it. Seek it. Sanctification, you may have heard that word. That's a process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And it's about transformation. It's about being restored into God's image. It's not about taking me and you destroying that, but it's about restoring us to what we were originally intended to be. It's about becoming the real me that has been marred by sin. He says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conformity. That's the idea of thinking and acting and living according to the standard of this world. But that's not our standard, is it? We have another. He says, don't be conformed. Don't be like this world, but be transformed. And that word in the scripture is the original language is metamorpho. Some of you may remember high school biology and metamorphosis. The idea of becoming one life form becoming another, and the classic example, of course, is always the caterpillar that becomes the butterfly. One life form that becomes another. And this is an image that's presented in Scripture continually. This new life, this new way, we're a new person in Christ. And I know that I'm not what I was. I know that I'm not what I will be someday. But I'm on this journey of transformation toward becoming all that Christ has called me to be and made it possible for me to be by the power of His Spirit living in me. And it's the same for you. This is literally and spiritually a work of reformation, of transformation that comes with embracing Jesus Christ, which makes us able to live in this world without being like this world. Get it? You understand what I'm saying? Paul wrote these words. He said, don't lose heart. And I want to say to you this morning, don't lose heart. If you're in pain, don't lose heart. If you're struggling and confused, don't lose heart. He says, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus and on what is seen, not what is unseen. For what is seen is not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This world is not your final destination. Right? Amen. This world is not your final destination, and it is not to be your standard. I love the words that Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm not going to read them all, but let me just read a couple of them for you, where he says this, and this is so critical to what we're saying today. He says, His divine power, he's talking about Christ, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, meaning His glory and goodness, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them, the promises, you may participate. This is really, really exciting, really, when you think about it. So that you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You are not God, but you are called to be godly. And it's the same for me. He says that God Himself gives us everything that we need for life and for godliness, and that He's given us these promises, and He wants to develop us to be more and more like Him as we anchor our lives in Christ. But that demands our humility. It demands our honesty with ourselves. It demands a daily submission to the Holy Spirit, who is the one who can make this a reality. Never forget that. It's not you, it's Him. I can't, but God can. Say that with me. I can't, but God can. I can't. Transformation begins with the recognition that you cannot do this yourself, but that it takes the Spirit of God in you to accomplish this. The problem we see in so many people, and even in the church, is that so many people keep trying to do it themselves. But that's not the way it was intended to be. Remember this battle that Paul describes in Romans 7, where he says, I'm constantly doing the things I don't want to do, and I'm not doing the things I want to do. It's this battle between the Spirit of God within us and the flesh. And every one of us experiences that, don't we? You experienced it this week, probably every day. And I do too. And we cannot win that battle on our own. It takes the Spirit of God in control of our lives to do that. Humanly, we want to focus on the external, on what we can see, on what we can produce ourselves, on what we can control. But this transformation, my friends, is beyond our natural ability, and that's why we need the supernatural enabling of God for this to happen. So he says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your thinking. This is why Paul wrote to the Philippian church. He said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is worthy of praise, think about these things. This is so important because transformation comes from the inside out. And as we think, we are. What we think, we will act out. And so our thinking has to be changed from the inside out. This metamorphosis, it begins from the inside out. You set the environment, and I do too. Every day, we set the environment by what we choose to think about, what we choose to do, how we choose to respond to situations, even the challenges and the pain in our lives. We make choices about what we think and see and hear, and so that the Holy Spirit finds in us an unconflicted heart and fertile ground to do His work of transformation. But every day, we offer ourselves up to Him as living sacrifices so that He can do this work in us. And we keep choosing to put off the old ways in favor of the new, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. If you want to experience genuine Christianity, even in the midst of the hard experiences of your life, and if you want to experience the power of God in your life and your family and in this church, then you must embrace this truth. You must embrace this transformation that God has for you. But the third thing I mentioned this morning, also very important, and this brings us to the last part of what was read for us this morning, or quoted for us. It's so easy to slide right past it, and I slid right past it for years, until the last few years, and I've become very excited about this part of the verses. It says, so that you may experience the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. The third thing I want to say to us this morning, we've got to embrace the will of God no matter what. Why is that important? None of us likes suffering. None of us likes to experience pain, right? If you do, you're an oddball. We'd like to think that maybe knowing Jesus means we don't have to suffer, but that's not true. The truth is, suffering is a part of our existence in this broken world, and suffering is something that God can use in our lives. Now, He doesn't mention suffering specifically in that verse, but I want to mention it because it's easy to accept the will of God when things are going well, right? It's easy to accept the will of God when things are working out like we thought they should, or when He answers a prayer, or when things are making sense to us. But what about in those times when they're not? Christ said, in this world, you will have troubles. But he also said, take heart, I have overcome the world. He said in Romans 8:28, and this is one of those promises Peter was talking about. I love this, Romans 8:28, that God uses some things for good to accomplish his purposes in our life, right? Is that what it says? No. It says he uses all things for the good of those who are called according to his purposes. All things. Even the hard things, even the pains. A lot, and listen to me here, a lot of the transformation that will come in your life is going to come through your suffering, through your pain, through your difficult times. And that's when the Holy Spirit can work the transformation the most in your life. Because that's where you need Christ the most. That's where you meet Christ the most deeply, is in those times. So I want to ask you this morning, what's testing you? What's testing you? What's the struggle that's going on in your life? And maybe only a few people know about it. Maybe nobody knows about it. And how are you responding to that? Are you blaming God? Are you praising him that he's in the midst of those circumstances and at work even in those circumstances? Are you growing disillusioned and bitter, maybe even at God, because of what you're going through? Or are you learning to see the bigger picture? And as a result of that, your faith and your confidence in him are growing. A lot of your spiritual formation comes through your earthly trials and the struggles that you will experience in the church, in your family, in your life. And that's not any different for us. Last couple of years have been pretty difficult for Diane and I in some ways, because we have 4 grown children, and two of them have been pretty newly married, but one's been experiencing pretty severe health issues, and another one newly married, but going through her own challenges, another one job transitions and dealing with relationships, and then our son married a gal 3 years ago that soon decided after that she didn't want to be married. So he's been going through that process. It happens to all of us, but we lean not on our own understanding, and we trust in him who can make good of it all. If you don't see, if you don't believe that God is at work, even in your testings, you will not experience the reality that the will of God is good and pleasing and perfect. That doesn't mean it's always enjoyable. But if what God accomplishes in your life accomplishes what he wants in your life, then it is good and pleasing and perfect to him, and it will be good and pleasing and perfect to you. If you don't embrace that truth, and if you don't have that truth to lean on, it's pretty hard to accept the love of God. It's pretty hard to embrace that truth and have peace in the midst of turmoil. It's pretty hard to accept that God is still in control when you're suffering, or someone you love is suffering, or your job caves in, or something happens, or you're struggling financially or whatever. But it's only the person who puts their trust in God, even in trials, who will be able to experience the reality of knowing a good God in difficult times. And knowing that what you're going through is producing good and perfect results in your life. When you may feel like you're just trying to survive. You're just gasping for air. And I got there. I got there about a year and a half ago. I got to a point with all that was going on. I felt like I couldn't breathe inside. I said, Lord, have mercy. I can't breathe. And he did. And he met me there. God will show up in those experiences somehow. And you will experience him in new and fresh ways. So friends, embrace this truth. Embrace this idea of your suffering as something that Christ will use in your life. And many, many people have not, and they've turned away from Christ. They've turned away from the church because they haven't accepted the truth of this reality. But I want you to know this morning. I want you to know how much Christ loves you. I want you to know how much you are loved by God, that Christ would suffer and die and rise from the dead for you so that he could accomplish his good and pleasing and perfect will in your life. Know that. And embrace all that Christ has for you. Embrace as all he has for you as his beloved child by embracing that identity as a living sacrifice, by embracing this process of transformation in your life, and by embracing the will of God in your life no matter what happens. Amen? I'd like to pray with you and for you. Would you bow with me, please? We, Lord, just want to say yes to all that you have for us. And it's easy to say yes when things are easy. But Lord, I just want us to take this moment to respond to whatever it is you would say to us and how you'd have us each to respond. And friend, how would you respond today to him? How is his spirit speaking to you? Has there been some prompting? Has there been a thought? Has there been something that you've, it's been a focus point for you this morning? Maybe a conviction? Take that as something from the Holy Spirit and offer that to God in this moment of prayer. The Lord wants this for us. He wants this for you. How is he speaking to you? Let's take a moment. Lord, thank you for embracing us. Thank you for reaching out to us, even when we weren't reaching out to you. Thank you that you have not only save us, but you change us for the better. You prepare us for the life to come in the life that we live now. Thank you that you use all circumstances in our lives. And so we just come with these truths this morning and want to dedicate ourselves to standing firmer on those truths this morning, to embracing you back. And I pray that whatever it is you would speak into each of our hearts this morning, we will not let go of that, but that you would just continue to help us lean into that and live into that in the days to come. Lord, have your own way. Teach us, transform us, fill us, and use us, for it is not by our own might, but it is by your Spirit that all this will be truth, reality, and be accomplished. And we love you for that. We love you for all that you've done for us. And we want to love you more. And so we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. A benediction is really a blessing. So I'm going to invite you just to open your hands today and to receive this blessing. As living sacrifices, may you seek Jesus this week. May you reflect Jesus this week. And may you glorify Jesus this week. As you put him first in all of your circumstances. And whatever you're facing this week, know that Christ loves you and he will be with you. Amen. Go in peace.